Carl Sabatino, we are back with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino America Weekend. Thank you all for staying with us.
Wait, where are we?
And we're in a segment here talking about my observations from the middle of the crowd.
Oh, I forgot that, you were going to do that.
That segment. Anyway, I have two thoughts.
Well, I thought we were going out for coffee or something.
Kevin, please help us. I have two thoughts today. Actually, three. One very quickly, the passing of a dear friend named Dick Van Patten.
Hmm.
Dick, I met Dick. He was a New Yorker, a Broadway guy. He always called himself the Broadway guy. I interviewed him way back in the late 70s when he was doing Eight Is Enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just a terrific guy. I played tennis with him out, and badly. He was a great tennis player. He really was terrific. He came from Queens and learned how to play in the Queens tennis courts out there in Forest Hills and so on. But he was a man who understood, a kind man, a gentleman, who understood our business, the business of Broadway, motion picture, and television. He got it. Understood how it works and how it doesn't, and I shall miss him. He was a man you could talk to. Sit down and have an erudite conversation. We did it once at a Carl's Burger on La Cienega Boulevard in one of the best conversations I've ever had.
You know, many years ago, I met him. I was a guest on Robert Schuller's program.
Yes.
And Dick Van Patten was also a guest at the same time.
Really?
And I was speaking on something in particular, some news event that had some spiritual import.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there with his wife in the green room, you know, where you sit around before you're going to do anything. Delightful conversation.
Just
delightful.
He loved the art of conversation. And in that Carl's Big Boy or Carl's Burger there on La Cienega, I'll never forget it, back in the early 80s, we sat and talked for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I had agita you cannot imagine because those things always gave me, just bloated me. And he was a prodigious eater. He'd love to eat, loved his hamburgers. But the point is,
Who's the guy on Popeye that loved hamburgers?
Yeah, I can't think of his name, the little short guy. But the point is, he loved the conversation. And bless you, my dear friend, on your journey, I'm sure it will be a good one. You shall be missed. I want to also mention Disney and the Disney outsourcing thing that went on, outsourcing American jobs. They backed off on it. They had outsourced 135 jobs in the technical area in the Disney park system. Just outsourced them. And there was no particular reason why they did it, but they just did it. Saved them millions of dollars, of course. And, of course, it created an uproar, and they stopped doing it. But what we have to understand, and this is the problem with American corporations, and Disney seems to go to the head of the class, they don't care how they get a product out. They just want to get a product out, all right? And they have managed to do this in such a way, such an insidious way. It is literally tearing apart their broadcast division, in my opinion, ABC, which they own. It has created subsidiary companies that are in league with themselves to make money and to literally create a this is supposed to have been a company created by Walt Disney, who I had the pleasure of meeting, as you know, many years ago. You knew my father, a man who had a vision about entertaining children and making an enjoyable place, and that place was Disney World. And of course, at that time, it was Disneyland when they first opened it. That is gone.
It still is. Disneyland and Disney World in Florida, right?
But the spirit behind them is totally gone. When I first went to those parks, particularly Disney World, where I went to the opening.
1956.
No, not that one. That's Disneyland. Oh, okay. Disney World in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it was a joy. Absolute joy. Everyone knew what they were doing, smiling. It was a wonderful place. Today, it's a crunch. And all you do is stand on lines for 2 hours, and if you're lucky, and you get into your amusement, something I prefer not to do. But the point is, the corporate makeup has now changed. And it no longer is what it used to be. It's all about just making money. Shame on you, Disney, in my opinion. Shame on you. And my final thought.
You could do shames on a whole bunch of companies, not just Mr. Disney.
And my last thought is, has anyone noticed a change in America? And the Disney matter leads into it. And it notes the fact that America is changing. I don't know where we're going, but we are not what we were only 5 years ago. And I believe it's the entire technological age that has moved America to a different spot in time. And I think we should at least be aware of that we are changing. And that is an important point to note. Note your steps I can't think of the Greek philosopher. It'll come to me.
Epictetus.
Thank you. Note your steps along the way, he said. Note your steps along the way, because you will never pass that way again. My thoughts, my observations from the middle of the crowd.
I think they're very, very good thoughts, Carl. And you have always been a man of thinking and trying to find out where we're going and how does it fit in with your life or with the community that you choose to live in.
And what the heck is going on?
But, you know, in terms of, you know, change is the only thing that is inevitable.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think we as citizens of the globe, as well as loyal citizens of the United States of America, have to acknowledge that we have two choices. We can be participants in change, or we can be victims of it. And I would always choose to be a participant in change.
Yes, no, I agree.
Than having to be a victim.
But I guess
no matter what that entails.
Let's take your thought. The point is, do we keep the elements, and you mentioned it in another segment, the things that were that aren't anymore? Do we keep some of those? You know, in the days when there wasn't the writing instruments that we had, it used to be from elder to elder to elder. They would pass on the knowledge through conversation, okay? But they passed on history.
Stories. Storytelling was the way the tribal culture
they passed
shared
on,
history.
They passed on culture. They passed on wives' tales. They passed on how to make clothes and shoes and eat and all of the rest. They passed on the history of their family and their collective unit. That's important. We should not forget what happened. We should not. The past will catch up with us.
Do you think the change today, though, dictates the fact that we need to forget what came before?
I think we have to embrace what came before.
Well, I know that, but do you think the way we're changing in America today
totally
is forcing us to forget what came before?
No, because it's too quick. It's too fast. I went to a party recently very quickly, and I was with a lot of young 20-somethings. Okay, it was a graduation party. My gosh, getting them into conversation was impossible.
You could have texted them.
Exactly. And I did. I did. My wife and I were sitting there, and she said, text that young lady you were just talking to. She came up, wherever she was, she found me and came up. I had to text her. That's ridiculous, okay? But nonetheless, why? I don't grasp the understanding of why. That you mentioned geography earlier and other things. The things that are important in life that you should know, they don't know. Now, that's because we're older, because we are in that part of our, we're in the September of our years. Bull hockey, okay?
Don't you think that your grandfather would have said of you when you were in your 20s that you need to learn a little bit more about life, my boy?
And you know what? I did, because I paid attention to him, okay? That's the point. I listened to him. I said, you know, you got something there, Pop. He's going, Pop, you got something there, Pop. And maybe I should be paying more attention. And I did, okay? My brother Ralph did not. But he became the musician. And musicians never pay attention to anything but the music, okay?
You can say that because you've been a musician.
Yes, so. I was, and I knew it. That's one of the reasons why I was changing my life, because I couldn't play anymore. And he said, you might want to pay more attention to other things that are happening in your life. And I did. I got lucky. I paid attention. I'm wondering if our young people are paying attention today. I'm wondering if they are.
I think there are anomalies to those who do not. And I think that there are a number of young people who do pay attention, are aware of their place in a global society, and that do want to embrace history as a prologue to the future.
They will find, as my pop said to me, if you pay attention to where we have been, to repeat the phrase, you will know where we have been to know where you're going. Okay,
yeah.
And it has worked for me throughout my entire life. You got to know where you were before you know where you're going to go.
Well, you know, John Kennedy wrote that wonderful book, Profiles in Courage, which was a good book,
excellent book.
History is prologue.
Yes,
right? Part of a dissertation that he had to
three
do.
Wasn't that a three part book thing?
Yeah, I think so.
I believe it was, but it was wonderful because he as a young man understood history. He got it. He understood it, and that was the important thing.
But,
made him a great president.
That was the 60s, though, you know, and it's a little bit different than the 2015.
Unfortunately, we're embracing what they've often said, this new age. But this new age got here from the old age, and if you don't understand the development of the historical aspects of how we got to 2015. Where are we going from 2015 to the end of this century? I won't be here. My little one will be.
We need context, and sometimes we don't have that anymore because that things move too fast.
Yes.
Or move fast, not too fast.
Well, we're going to slow it down.
Oh, okay.
We're going to slow it.
Time for a nap?
Kevin Wolf looking at us saying 30 seconds. That's how we're going to slow this down. Well, Roland, let's move on. Carl Sabatino with Roland
Smith. Well, you're
Smith.
Going too fast.
Am I going
slow
too
fast? Slow up just a little bit.
I'm getting a head shake.
Well, Roland, perhaps we ought to say that's it for right now, but we'll be right back. And if you stay with us, we have a surprise guest.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.